Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the preliminary revenues and earnings in the business year 2021 conference call. I am Paul, the conference call operator. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to Mr. Stephan Pierer, CEO. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning to everybody. Welcome to our presentation of our last year's results. We do it based on our updated company presentation, which we launched on our website in the morning, and I think it's also available for your investor documentation. Let's start on page three. There's a headline, "The PIERER Mobility DNA is 30 years of track record." I don't wanna celebrate the 30 years anniversary. I will keep it quite simple. My headline for this presentation is another year of record. That's, I think we are very proud to announce that we could achieve an increase of 1/3, 33%, you have heard right, based on that tough global circumstances on the logistics chain and corona. Meanwhile, everybody's used to that thing. We are really proud of that. A part of that huge increase, we were also able to keep a sharp focus on free cash flow. Free cash flow, you will see later on, more than 170 million. Also a strong EBITDA margin of more than 16%. What we have now experiencing is that the pioneering in the electromobility, because we are the leading company in that already. 2014, we launched our first electric-driven enduro motorbike. Is the market base back. Already more than 180 million sales we did in that segment, power two-wheeler e-mobility. If we jump on page five, you can see the current group structure. For that group structure, it's a very important information. We were able to finalize or complete the uplifting concept with our strong partner, Bajaj. Bajaj, till October last year, had a participation of the KTM motorcycle company of around 48%. Meanwhile, we put that in a joint holding company, which is led by myself in a majority. The 48% of the KTM AG we did last year in the fourth quarter, a capital increase in kind, which increased the quantity of the shares from 2.2 million to around 3.3 million. That's done. Now we have a clear structure. The public listed company holds 100% of the KTM motorcycle division, which is basically driven by the three brands, KTM, Husqvarna, and GasGas. In the middle is our design, pre-development, development structure. Just to give you a glance, around 400 people are working in that divisions. On the motorcycle division right now, around 4,600 people. On the new fast-growing division of the e-bicycle, we already have employed more than 150 people. If we jump on page three, six, sorry, six, you can see the huge growth rate in the last year compared to the last year. For sure, you can see in 2020 that was a certain impact in the first half of the corona issue. We reacted in 2020, one of the first companies immediately, and that gave us that strong acceleration in that 2021 year. On page seven, the same picture you can see on units. Last year, we touched what we define as a power two-wheeler, including all three different powertrains from the two-stroke, four-stroke, and the electric powertrain. We achieved more than 400,000 units. With the different colors, you can see all the split of the different brands and products. On that chart, you can see how it works throughout 30 years. It's an ongoing growth story since I would say the financial crisis. We had an average growth rate on sales around 13%. If we jump on page eight, you can see how it's the breakdown in a global breakdown. We are talking about wholesales. That is the invoiced units of motorcycles we did to our dealer network worldwide in the different areas. Let's start in Europe. In Europe, we could increase deliveries up to 23%, around 120,000. Also, a strong backbone in our business for sure is North America, US market, where we are the leading brand in the off-road, with a plus of 25%. Surprisingly, South America is doing very well with an increase of more than 60%. Yeah, we're very proud of that. And also Asia is doing, including China, is doing very well. It's a plus of more than 50%, 56%. Yeah. Our partner Bajaj in India is doing okay, but India was, I would say, affected heavily by the corona in all areas around the world. In my opinion, the Indian economy was affected the most one. Yeah. And Australia is doing also very well, 26% plus, so that ends up in a total of 332,000 motorcycles in 21, which is an increase of 23%. If we jump on page 9, where we can see the development of the total market, the related market, we are talking about products 120cc and bigger. You can see a very interesting development in Europe. You can see two different colors, an orange colors in the lines, and also a dark gray and a light gray. The dark gray one is the total market volume in Europe. And this is interesting. Due to Corona, in Europe we achieved the same market size with what we had already 12 years ago before the financial crisis. And that is showing the mega trend that the power two-wheeler has a huge impact for the short distance mobility, and it's growing. In the US, the positive thing is since Corona, it's the first time that the markets are growing. The last 10 years, it was a flat market, in some years already a small decrease. So that's a positive effect of Corona. You can see a strong market share gain in our group in 2020 up to the beginning of 21. That was one of our, I would say, most efficient, most successful decisions what we did in 2020. Already after a couple of weeks of lockdowns in 2020, we decided to increase quantities to improve availability. And after half a year, especially in US, we were one of the rare companies that were able to deliver products. And that was a sharp increase of the market share. Meanwhile, all the others are also available. Now it's, I would say, normalizing the situation. If we jump to page 12, I will go deeper in the fastest growing segment in the power two-wheeler electric product segment. We are talking about the voltage of 48 volt, which is totally safe for production delivery and on the dealer level. This product range goes from 250 watt, which is the electric bicycle, and goes up to 15 kilowatt, which is basically the A1 motorcycle and scooter class. That segment will become in the next decade or in the next 5 years, a very important, fast-growing market segment. Where in that segment, for sure, a combustion engine, especially in cities, will replace by the product. If you jump on page 13, you can see our development throughout the last couple of years. You can see in 21, we already achieved together all the products which we have already in the product line and revenues of around 180 million euro. And I think the most important message for you as investors, we have a positive gross margin of 25%, which obviously a lot of other companies are not in that level. And that's the benefit that we are one of the pioneers in that segment. We learned all our lessons throughout the last 8 years with our first product, the FreeRide E. That means in the power two-wheeler segment, a high voltage concept doesn't create a positive margin. Secondly, a high voltage concept is very expensive for the dealer, for warehousing batteries and the safety measurements. It's also a huge effort starting from the production line to deliveries. So that we recognized, let's jump down to 48. Meanwhile, technology on batteries and also on engines is quite high. So you can achieve a power level up to 15 kilowatt easily. And I think that's the focus, what we have for the next couple of years, especially in the market volumes in Europe from the e-bicycle. We are talking meanwhile around 4.5 million units. Incredible. Yeah. And in that segment, I would say dozens or almost 100 different companies. There are just a couple of them global players. The rest are regional players. So in that segment, for sure, electromobility and the electric drivetrain will create a huge consolidation. And the latest positive development is North America. The volume last year was already 500,000 units. And in the U.S. market, the electric bicycle is perceived as a sport and leisure good with high average sales per unit. So, and the target for us is still 25 instead of 180. We want to achieve 500 million euro. If you jump to page 14, yeah, you can see already our existing product line. We recognize that you have to start on electromobility in niches and on young customers. Because why? First of all, 48 volt is totally safe for the usage, even for the customer. Secondly, the battery pack for products for kids and sporting usage is overseeable, so that creates a positive margin. And secondly, the electric powertrain is especially perceived on the kids level very positive. The real decision maker for the mother, it's safe. Yeah, for the father, you save the work as mechanic, and you can achieve the same price tag as you have on the combustion engine. And that kids or that customer is growing up. And in a couple of years, if they turn to 16, they jump on electric motorbikes, which you can see already on page 15. That's, I would say, a confidential look to our development, what's coming up. The next year, an electric enduro and motocross bike gets launched, and then step by step, all products up to 125cc A1 class becomes electric. So we have a clear vision on the product line on motorcycles. On page 16, you can see already our existing fast-growing bicycle brands. It's GasGas, it's Husqvarna, Raymon, and we just recently acquired an American famous high-end race brand, Felt Bicycles. They are the dominator in the triathlon competition and in the high-end racing. And on page 17, you can see what we did the last couple of years. We invested more than 25 million on our place in Salzburg, where the e-mobility development center. 400 people are working there, more than 20,000 square meters of space. And here we are doing all the e-drivetrain connectivity and all these kind of things. So we are well prepared to become the leading brand in the electromobility and the smart displacements. Just a quick information on page 18, how goes on with our cooperation. Although Bajaj in India was heavily affected by the coronavirus, they did a great job last year. In total, they produced 150,000 units for us. 40% stayed in India, Indonesia, and Sri Lanka, and the rest we distributed worldwide. So in our developed countries, we did already 100,000 units. So they could achieve that number based on an Indian supply chain where they did an outstanding, great job in that. If we jump to page 19, what's going on in the Chinese joint venture? Although since 2 years, nobody from us were able to visit our joint venture. We could do it on a, I would say, virtual base, get ready with the joint venture factory. They started around May, June last year. This year they did already 10,000 units in this in the factory, half-half CF Moto and KTM products. It goes on. It's difficult to handle, but it works, which is a very interesting experience for us. Yeah, and finally on page 20, a little the glance for the existing breakdown of our dealer network. We increased the dealer network, I would say, based on our availability and our very good track record, up to 4,200 motorcycle dealers. You can see with the breakdown in the different colors, the different brands. It's KTM, Husqvarna, and GasGas. And already on the bicycle independent dealer network, we were able to achieve more than 1,300 dealers worldwide. And there's a big advantage of us. We have an existing powered two-wheeler motorcycle distribution, which is able to handle products like an e-bike. In an e-bike, you have a connectivity, you have an electric drivetrain, you have a battery pack, you have a warranty commitment, and all these kind of things. It's closer to the behavior of a motorcycle dealer, and that's the reason that it increased quite heavily from 140 already up to 280 dealers. They are combined. They are selling motorcycles and e-bikes. So, and our clear target for the next couple of years, we want to achieve 5,000 motorcycle dealers globally, finally, with our brands, and 5,000 bicycle dealers, and thereof 2,000 are combined dealers. So we are talking about 8,000 dealers in total. So that's the strategy, which is a big help to achieve our very ambitious goals. Now I would like to hand over to Fritz Reutner, my colleague and CFO, to explain the figures.
Good morning, also from my side. Stefan Pierer described the highlights of the last fiscal year. I think it was really an outstanding year. So I'm happy to give you an overview now about the key figures and some explanation on them. More than 30% turnover increase. I think it was regarding the circumstances in which we were working, really an outstanding result. And we are also very, very happy that the platform strategy we started a couple of years ago works really very well. Not only KTM was growing, we also produced more than 60,000 Husqvarna motorcycles and more than 20,000 GasGas motorcycles. We are very happy that this is working so well. We are following our guidance that not only turnover and sales growth is important for us, but also the result quality we want to keep stable. So, and we are happy that the EBIT we could increase by 80% in comparison to last year, and the EBITDA by more than 40%. The EBIT and EBITDA ratio is very fine between the range we see on the long-term view between 8 and 10%, and 20 was an exceptional year, and we have been clear on the upper side of that range. The earnings close to 150 million euros, and I would like to mention, Stefan already described the uplifting project with Bajaj. In 21, we could realize for the last quarter the total earnings for all the main shareholders we have now on board. That results to the 60% quote of the earnings to the earnings after minorities. For 2022, we will have no more minorities. That means in 2022, all the earnings will be earnings after minority for the main shareholder. And this, I think, is a very, very good outlook we have to expect. The margin I already described. The employees, clearly more than 5,000 employees, 5,249. And what has to be mentioned, close to 1,000 employees worked in our R&D development. This means close to 20% of our employees are working in that department, which is, I think, a key success factor in our development. Going to page 22, you see now the dividing into the two segments, motorcycle and e-bikes. I would like to highlight that in 21 we had an EBIT margin of more than 10% in the motorcycle business with 10.3, but also the e-bike segment is doing very well. We are well on track. At the end, in the midterm view, we want to reach the same EBIT quality as in the motorcycle business, and already stated out that 21 was a very good year, so this was the reason why we have been on the upper range of our long-term range. On page 23, you'll see some key figures regarding the balance sheet and the financial structure of our company. The balance sheet total grows by 20%. What has to be mentioned is that we have a very high liquidity of more than 370 million cash reserves at the year end. The equity nearly goes to 800 million. Having in mind that we have an, I would say, too big portion on cash, if we would deduct 200 million in the way of a normalization of a cash position we need for the daily business, we are not at 37.9% equity ratio, but more than 40% if I do that normalization. That means we are here also well on track. The working capital management, we'll see later on, the free cash flow is was very, very well under control, I would say. So we overfulfilled our targets for this year. This leads to a further reduction of the working capital employed now to 160 million, which I would say on the long-term view is perhaps a little bit a low level, but we took the opportunities we had in the market to optimize the working capital. Equity I already mentioned, and so the key figures, gearing and net debt EBITDA at the end of the day, looking at the net debt of 190 million, which is outstanding low, is also far away from our goals. On the positive side, we are clear below 50%, which is a target on the gearing with 24.6, and net debt EBITDA with 0.6, also clear under the target of 1. CapEx figure, an important and figure for our future outlook. We are on a, I would say, well on track level. In total, if I include the leasing and IFRS 16 positions, we have around about 200 million euros. So this is a long-term guidance of around about 10%. I think this is important to keep that level because the most important position in that is the product development with 112 million. That means more than a half of the CapEx in total is going to product development, tooling with 18. So we are talking about 65% of the total CapEx is going to product development and tooling, which is the base for the future potential we are working on. I would like to go to page 24. Here you see the cash flow analysis. So EBITDA quality of more than 330 million already explained. This leads at the end of the day, having all the different activities in mind, which is it investing? Is it working capital management? We at the end came to more than 170 million free cash flow, which is a ratio of 8.4% of revenue. On the long-term view, we stay at the 3%-5% guidance. I think this is having in mind and not forgetting the high CapEx level we are working on. I think it's a very, very good ratio. That means, in short words, we are able to finance our growth paths on our own, which is a very important, as we say, cornerstone in our strategy to stay independent, to take opportunities in the market wherever they are, and be able at the end to realize a free cash flow potential after all that activities. This was a short overview about the key figures. Some words to the ESG matter, which is also an important matter we should mention and spend some minutes on that issue. You see on page 25 some highlights, some key factors on that area. I only want to mention some of them. 131 million CapEx, I already mentioned, in product development and tooling. Close to 20% of our employees are working in the R&D development, which is also extremely future-oriented. CO2 emission reduction, for sure, an important issue for us, but also the question of safety and so on. What is also important to be mentioned is the female share of 24%, because this is a segment we are working hard on this because the employees market is dried out completely. The development also of females working on the production is an important potential we have to have in mind, and we have here also a strong focus on that. On page 26 and 27, some highlights of the last year. I think we made a very good progress. We reached two ratings, Gaïa and Sustainalytics. We are close to a third rating of Standard & Poor's Global, which is still in progress and which should be finalized by end of March. We could realize the GRI standards in the sustainability reporting systems. The external assurance by KPMG is done, to mention some issues, and what is in preparation is the EU taxonomy, which is an important issue for us. On page 27, again, I mentioned some highlights. For sure, COVID-19 was an important issue. We worked, I think, very good under control, and health and safety is, for our employees, an important issue. COVID-19 was also in a strong focus of our management activities. Supplier survey regarding social and environmental criteria is also very, very important. Vehicle security, I already mentioned. Here we are working, this is, I would say, daily business, as well as waste management, quality control. These are some highlights which has to be mentioned. I think we have done a very good reporting, and the ESG report in the meanwhile is a thick book, where you can read all the details, but at the end of the day, we are in a good progress on that issue. It leads me to the last slide on page 28, our financial guidance for 2022. We stay with a growth outlook. That means we expect another growth for this year between 6% and 10% in turnover by a stable EBIT margin between 8% and 10%. This is the guidance we see on the long-term issue and the EBITDA margin between 15% and 17%. That means we stay a growth case. We expect another turnover growth for this year by keeping the, let's say, result quality on a stable level. Thank you very much, and I would like to hand over now to the organization to
Q&A.
Q&A.
First question comes from Constantin Hesse from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you very much for taking my questions, and congrats on the strong results. So from my side, I have a few questions. So first of all, just a very quick one on India and Husqvarna. The decline was actually quite substantial. I'm just wondering what was it? Was it a particular issue there that you had, or what exactly was the issue there? Because KTM brand actually grew low single digit, whereas Husqvarna was down 40%+. That's my first question.
As I said, India was affected the most compared to other regions. Secondly, in that was one or the other competitor that jumped in with new products. I think that's my explanation to that Indian. I would say not increase and slight decrease on that. Because the total market also was flat.
So I think what has to be mentioned is that corona crisis hit us at the beginning of that market development process. For the future, we see additional potential also for Husqvarna for sure in India.
Okay, and Husqvarna in India, that's also between the 100 to 400 cc displacement, or
it's
are these
the same? We are doing a platform, yeah. So the 125 up to 400 cc. Engine platform and chassis platform is the platform for the two brands. And sure, KTM started 14 or 10 years ago in India and has a strong recognition worldwide, especially of racing and this or that. And the Husqvarna brand is not that, I would say, present in that region compared to KTM. That's my personal explanation to that. Yeah.
Understood. That's very clear.
Yeah.
Thanks. And just on the market share, if you just, I know you mentioned it quickly, I just didn't quite understand what was the big difference. But I know, so from what I understood, 2020, the significant growth you had was because you had more inventory compared to the competition, or what was it exactly?
Yeah, it started in, meanwhile, it's 2 years ago. It was the 16th March of 2020 when the different governments announced the lockdown. Yeah, we stopped production because the supply chain was broken, all the thing. And we as a company, we have a global daily tracking system on sales, on retail sales. So after 3-4 weeks, we recognized, oh, there's a huge demand, especially in US. And then so customers are still, although Corona is there, asking for power two-wheelers. And instead of sitting in home office and this or that, we restarted already in Easter, April 2020. We came back. The supply chain from Italy was also released and increased the existing budget by, I would say, almost 20%, especially on off-road products. They were heavily demanded in Australia and US. So at that time, the supply chain was working quite good because we were one of the first OEMs. They were asking for more than compared to before Corona. So in the middle of the year, since September onwards, we could increase dramatically the capacity. And after, I would say, 8-10 weeks, the products are getting available in the different markets, in US or in Australia a little bit later. And that was the huge benefit in the fourth quarter of 2020 and already the first half year, yeah, and the availability was great compared to others, and you can see on the market share it went up quite sharply, and our, I would say, colleagues from Japan, it takes always a certain time that they get ready, but meanwhile they are also ready after 1.5 years. And now it's normalizing. The market is normalizing and also the market share. But if you look to that, we have almost since the beginning, since the financial crisis, we have almost four times the market share. So we are quite used to gain market shares in tough competitions. Yeah, if it's easy, okay, you have the same what the market is telling you.
That's perfect. Thanks.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Basically, that's the racing spirit. We are quicker than the others. We are led by an entrepreneur We consider the risk. We have a huge experience in the management throughout decades, and instead of waiting, sitting, and talking, we are acting. That's our style. Look, that's the 30 years.
Yeah. Absolutely, fair enough. And then in the electric segment, so quick two questions here quickly with regards to, I think there were talks. I'm not sure. I think there were articles out last year saying that you might launch the, when I say launch, I mean actually start manufacturing and selling the ePLIN already at some point in the first half of 22. Just wondering if that might still be the case or if there was even a target for this. And then the second question is looking into January and going into February, has the momentum in the e-bikes growth continued into 2022? Thanks.
Yeah. Let's start on the e-bike situation is a special one for everybody because still the main manufacturers or the components manufacturing is located in Asia. So on the logistic chain, on the capacity, this or that, everybody is a hard work to get it. Yeah. It's a big help for us because we are one of the global player in motorcycle. We are well accepted. We have deep pockets, so we are always in the situation that if you are asking for some quantities, at least we are getting some quantities compared to small competitors. So that is still a promising situation for 2022 this year, but. It's still challenging. It's, I would say, on a weekly basis, you are not able to travel to that regions. So it's a challenge. But we are very optimistic in that. On the motorcycle, it's overseeable. But we have shown how it works. Maybe there's one or the other supplier, but that's daily work. Yeah. And honestly saying on the car industry, on the motorcycle industry, for the first quarter, still there's one supplier, I will mention it because everybody knows it, that's Bosch. Bosch is the bottleneck, but they are doing a good job, and on the second quarter this year, it looks quite optimistic.
That's good, thanks. And then just on the ePLIN, is that something that
that was planned anyway for 23? And what also the Corona thing had postponed developments and also had postponed because there's so a huge existing demand on existing products that basically all big OEMs it's the first step to fulfill it. Yeah, and to postpone a little bit the new products, that everything is cleaned up and we are really get rid of Corona. Yeah.
So that's understood. So this
the strategic situation for the running year. Yeah. Availability, get ready for the demand. In some areas, honestly saying, especially in America, we are dried out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Still, as long liquidity is there, and what can you do? Traveling is restricted. Go off-road, go outside. ATV for sure is doing very well. Motorcycles are doing very well. E-bikes are doing very well. And now it's just availability. It's the key for the running year.
Okay, so this year in terms of the e-motorcycles that you're going to have available are the Mini and the GasGas Trial and the KTM Freeride, right? So the EP
and the existing and the kids motocross bikes, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. So the ePLIN and all that will be in 2023.
Yeah. And it's the huge demand on the car and other side on batteries and on the microchips. I think it's also affecting availability on that special product because that product has much more components which are in the line of bottleneck compared to existing ones or conservative ones. It's very interesting.
Fair enough. And then just my last one, and then I'll go back to the queue.
Yeah.
Just in terms of the guidance, what are you considering in terms of COVID? Are you considering that we might see an improved situation supply chain-wise in the second half, or are you being a bit more conservative?
What we see is that the first quarter is still a serious challenge. From our standpoint, the second quarter already looking much better, and we think in the second half of the year, related to our availability, it's sorted out. It's the only challenge is because we want to increase another double digit. That's the challenge. Because some suppliers are also quite heavily affected by Corona. The bottleneck on labor, for them, 100% to deliver, that's one thing. But if you ask, I would like another 30% more, it's sometimes difficult. But
okay, yeah.
Parts, availability of specific parts, it's getting better, much better in the second half. That thing, what is driving some industry is huge energy costs, which is fortunately not a big issue for us because we are doing assembling. That's not a big thing. Logistic costs for sure stay high. They won't come back to the level what we had seen before. And if you ask me personally, what is my feeling regarding Corona? Meanwhile, we can handle it. We are quite used to that. We have a couple of thousand people, and it's overseeable. And fortunately, the latest version of how is Omicron, it's a sort of a flu.
Yeah,
And
that, that's
for
perfect.
sure, in a couple of we will follow Great Britain, Denmark, Spain.
Yeah.
So that's always I stay optimistic. Look ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. So the message is very clear. The message is demand is there, but the issue is still on the supply chain side is keeping you back a bit in terms of growth.
Yeah, it's the first half, that's the challenge. In the second half, it looks much better. So that's the current
Okay.
situation.
Perfect. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Stefano Girola from Alicanto Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Concerning the guidance, can you comment a bit on the average selling prices you expect for 2022? If I made the numbers right, already 2021 had a mid-single digit increase in average selling price for motorbikes. This is due to offset the raw material and logistic cost inflation, or it's a sort of, how can I say, changing mix in favor of higher pricing bikes?
The biggest impact is always coming from the product mix. If you sell
Okay.
more bigger bikes, for sure, I mean, and that's the main impact. How it works with the pricing, we are in a, I would say, in a fortunate position as OEMs. Every new product, anyway, you can set up a new price level. It, in comparison with the competition, for sure, but you are freed on that. On a yearly pay, we are talking about model years. Every year is a new model year, even it looks like the last year's model. And usually, since the last the decades, we did around between 1.5 and 3%, depending on the segment, an average price increase every year. And it's the same for 22 prices, which on average a price increase, I would say almost 3%, which covers all the I would say cost increases on raw materials, on logistic costs, and this or that. You can see so the gross margins stays the same what we had before.
Okay, because 2021 gross margin should have been around 28%, if I'm not wrong, right? And in the just a question on the e-bikes,
yeah.
Do you expect that while they grow in volumes, also for the industry in general, average selling price will go down? Because if you sell e-bikes at an average selling price of 2,100, which is your gross price, so the final price for the client is higher, if I'm not wrong. Do you think that there will be a sort of economies of scale and so the price, the average selling price will tend to decrease or not?
No, I don't see a decrease. I see an increase because it's the current situation. All components currently are manufactured in Asia. So logistic costs went up sharply, so that somebody has to pay for that. Yeah, and it's finally the end customer. Secondly, the product itself and the number of sales, which has increased dramatically, doesn't decrease the cost per sale. Yeah, so we expect an increase related to raw materials, specific component logistic costs, and I think what Corona created dramatically, in the future we are talking about continental supply chains. We have set up last year a joint venture in Bulgaria. We are building a factory for around almost 500,000 units production volume. And we convinced component manufacturers from Asia or wherever, or America, to come to that place, like the car industry, that you come closer to the situation built on demand, reduce the logistic line, and reduce the huge working capital which is currently involved in that. You have to put an order a year in advance to the suppliers. You have to secure that, and then you have to wait to get it, and then finally to hope you can sell everything because you have defined it already a year before. Fortunately, Corona has helped us to clean up the inventory. But in the future, and we as global player, we will change that system. We will come because the 70% of the world market is Europe. And it's coming from Vietnam, Cambodia, Malaysia, wherever. And I don't know how long it takes that China moves in Taiwan. Yeah. So that's the strategic thing. If you ask me how it looks in 5 years' time, then I think we have a continental supply chain. And that's the reason that we are convinced that we will become a global player in the e-bicycle business.
Okay. Just a last question. I think you have done an agreement with Piaggio and others to have a common size and format battery, no? Sort of battery for the smaller power bike, no? Up to 5 kilowatts or 10 kilowatts. Can you update me a bit on these, when this should start and when we should see the first models with this swappable battery system?
Compared to the car industry, in the motorcycle or power two-wheeler industry, we have much less quantities per model. Yeah, and fortunately, it's a niche industry, and we as manufacturers, we are talking quite friendly each other. For example, we have in Europe, it's called ATSEM, our industry, vehicle where all manufacturers globally are engaged in that. Fortunately, currently I am the president for that, and I'm talking to everybody. And we could achieve that the Japanese Honda, Yamaha, Piaggio, and the KTM group is doing on the battery a standardized system on connectors, on some other issues, instead of inventing each company themselves always new. So, and that swappable battery, which is around 2 kilowatt hours, 1.8 kilowatt hours, is fitted in different models in each manufacturer. That's it. So we can ask suppliers on a common base. So that's the idea behind. Yeah.
Okay. But you can even sell the bike without the battery because maybe the client has already the battery.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
You can put the same battery maybe in a product of Honda or maybe in a product of Piaggio or KTM. Yeah. So that's the strategic idea behind. How it works in the next couple, let's see. But it was a big movement, and I'm very happy that we could find a common understanding in that.
Okay. Thank you very much.
The next question comes from the line of Arnold Christian from Stifel. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
On the free cash flow, I was really impressed by generation of free cash flow this year, even higher than the record year last year, especially in a year where you were growing that much. So working capital played a role. What is the normal level of your working capital as a percentage of sales? What would you think? Because it can't be lower than what it's now, right?
Mr. Arnold, you can remember, I will say a couple of months or in the meanwhile years ago, where we talked about 12% of revenue for a working capital level. I think in the meanwhile it will be lower, so we are clear below 10% this year. We had a further decrease in comparison to last year. Already last year, we realized the cash flow out of the working capital. We think that we can stay at a low level for sure on an average basis. I see it a little bit higher than this year, but we will keep our focus on a low, that means below 10% level regarding turnover. This is our expectation, and we have the tools, therefore, I think well under control, and so that's the reason for the outlook. It was also the reason for the good cash flow. For sure, the stock level is a low one. We already explained. We can revise the expectation from a couple of years before to be above the 10%. I think now we see a lower level at about 10%.
Okay, great. Labor. I mean, labor cost is one thing, increasing, but I think also the availability of labor is a big problem. How do you handle that?
First of all, we are one of the, I would say, leading companies in Austria. Our brands are well known. So, compared to other companies, we have an advantage. We are in the starting grid, I would say, on the pole position to that. Secondly, because we can offer, we have an export ratio for most of 98%. We are doing 55% outside of Europe. We can offer destinations which are very rare for other companies to offer in Austria and the region. Secondly, we have a huge program of apprentices since decades. We have almost 200 apprentices. After the 3 years education, they have the guarantee that they have a fixed job. Yeah. So, and that's like an infusion. It's perfect, and that's the way we are getting every year around 60 well-motivated women and guys. It's great. Yeah. So without that, it would be difficult. The rest, for sure, we are covering with lease personal companies and this. So far it works, but for small-sized companies, mid-sized companies, it's getting difficult because the baby boomers are disappeared in retirement. Secondly, less young people, some of them not in the right education format. And if it's the right education format, you have to convince them they should work 100% instead of work-life balance. So that's, it's a new style, a new challenge. But based on our product, on our internationality and all the thing, it works. But it's difficult, I can tell you. We are working with universities, with some schools. You have to step in and to convince already throughout the education.
Okay. And then on your e-motorcycles on the development, you have slide 15. I'm missing here the e-scooter of Husqvarna, which you, I think, plan to launch in 2022.
It is
I don't
quite
know.
simple, because with the existing products, we have already a gross margin of 25%. Yeah, and we think if we are doing great, we can come up to the same gross margin as we used on the combustion engine, the 30%. If you step in the scooter market currently, you don't get 10% because it's overloaded by Chinese manufacturers, and that kind of mobility is not perceived as the premium emotional high end. And it's that was the reason that we decided the strategy, let's postpone that, let's sit that wait. Let's do our core products, where we are the market leader, where we are getting premium prices, where we are getting the right margin. Because I don't want to do, I would say, outsource a loss in a spec to get rid of an electric burden. So I'm willing to earn money because it's my money and your money.
I mean, yeah, it's definitely true. I mean, the e-scooter boom, it's just tremendous, isn't it? Is that also a reason?
We are talking about the classic scooter, not the stand-up scooter. Mm-hmm. The stand-up scooter will come, for mm-hmm. sure. No, that's clear. That's micro-mobility. That's very important, yeah? Mm-hmm. It's like the STACYC. It's come. It's already beginning next year, but hopefully we are also ready. We're already at Christmas time because that's the right Christmas gift. But the classic scooter, I don't see a good margin which we are used to.
Yeah. So the e-scooter, you're saying you would plan to have that around next Christmas? But what I understand.
Yes. Stand-up. Yeah, the stand-up scooter. Yes.
Okay. No.
Yes, please. Okay. So.
Yeah. Just because it was not here. Yeah. It was
not listed here. 1,000 francs, Swiss francs, and then you are in.
Yeah. How much?
1,000.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Put me on the list.
Yeah, put on the list because Swiss franc and euro anyway is almost equal.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Andy Chambers from Edison Investment Research. Please go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Hi,
sorry. Congratulations on a good year financially and on in competition. Truly excellent. But a couple of questions, please. On the chart on the distribution network, what's the explanation for the reduction in the independent bike dealers in a year when you're actually expanding geographically? Is it something to do with market contraction and... dealers going bust or something, or was it an active program?
Yeah. On the independent bicycle dealer, when we started 2 years ago with the bicycle or e-bicycle, we just jumped in the Dach area, which is Germany, Switzerland, Austria. Basically, we offered every independent dealer which was willing to put the products in. That was the reason immediately it jumped up. And then after 2 years, you are starting a qualifying program, an APC dealer. And that's one of the reasons that's currently the bottleneck of availability gives you the chance to sort out good and bad dealers. Yeah.
Okay. And are those all in Europe at the moment?
At the moment, those are, I would say, 90%. In Europe, the rest already in US because we have a very good motorcycle network in North America, around almost 600 dealers, and almost 20% of them were asking, please, can you give me an e-bike, especially an e-mountain bike, which is very similar to an off-road motorcycle, and that's the reason that we have already in the States a couple of dealers.
Okay, and can you just quickly add what volume Felt adds to the bike side in terms of volumes?
The total number of bicycles, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, let me jump on the beginning. It's around 103,000 in total.
77.
And 77, almost 80,000 e-bikes. And that portion, I would say 90% is done in Europe, and 10% outside Europe. That's US. So basically, that's more or less the picture from 21.
Okay. And I know you've explained a couple of times, but could you just remind me, you were talking about rebuilding your dealer inventories in 21 at the start of the year, which I presume you have managed to do to a degree, although you've been extremely busy. Is there a greater efficiency in your network now that you don't actually have to carry higher inventories, how are you able to keep the inventory and working capital? Well, the inventory went up, but the working capital went down, if I read your presentation correctly. So what's going on with the dealer inventories at the moment?
The dealer inventory is not part of our balance sheet. This is this. So when we are talking about our working capital, we have an interface to the dealers. I think the stock in the dealer network is also at a low level, because it's the market is dried out in the motorcycle business as well as in the bicycle business, and the same we see on our side.
So the financing for the dealer inventory is done on an ABS program. Yeah. So in US we have the former GE Capital, Wells Fargo, is right.
Wells Fargo.
Yeah. It was sold since decades. And in Europe, we have a German-based...
DZ Bank.
DZ Bank, yeah. And this is off balance sheet, and it's up to the dealer. The only agreement what we have, if a dealer goes bankrupt, we take back finished goods from the dealer level.
Yeah.
So that's the agreement. The rest is out of... Yeah.
It's all off your balance sheet. Okay. That's right.
And if you ask me how it's balanced globally, I would say in Europe it's okay, the dealer level. There could be more, but it's okay, availability. In US it's too less because the demand is still very high. So although we increased almost 20% on off-road, we are still, I wouldn't say behind, but we have the good situation to fill up, and so the more or less the demand is taking what we are delivering. Australia needs also a little bit more because they were almost 1.5 years in a lock-up period. What can you do in Australia? go outside in the desert, whatever. So that's the reason, yeah.
Okay, thank you. That's brilliant.
Maybe for you, as I didn't explain, the fastest growing combustion engine motorcycle market is China. Can you imagine? It reminds me on the 1890s in Europe. The displacement from 500 up to 1000 cc, the increase is almost 80%. So, and China becomes in the next 2-3 years at least the size of Europe, at least.
The next question comes from the line of Richard Weiss from Bloomberg News. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you. Good morning. Two, if I may. One on unit sales. Is there something you can say on the unit sales outlook for the different brands and products for this year? I recall it's a while back that you had a sales target of 400,000 units. I think that was motorcycle combustion engines only. Nowadays, it's a little more mixed. I wonder if that still stands for this year, because that would require quite an increase from the, I think, 333,000. And my second question is if you can elaborate a bit more on how you think the supply chain for bicycles, e-bicycles, will shift to Europe. You mentioned your Bulgaria factory. I wonder if you plan to do more there than just design and assemble bikes. Will all the parts in the future still come from Asia, or is there also other stuff that you can bring back to Europe? Thank you.
Let's start on the e-bicycle business. In Europe, we have, meanwhile, I would say, two small hubs where OEMs try to assemble or to produce a product. A little bit Portugal, interesting wise for the high end. And Eastern Europe, Bulgaria is one of them, and the former Eastern Germany area, where Trek and others are doing a little bit. The e-bike assembling or bicycle assembling is a lot of labor work on that, because it's very tiny little things, the CTT and all the things. It needs especially a lot of female handcraft. So I think Eastern Europe, and especially Bulgaria from the labor cost, is by far the best. Yeah, it's compared to Central Europe, it's 1/3, maximum 40% compared to labor costs. So now the big players are already looking to that area. What can we do there? We are building a factory with around 60,000 square meters, 6 hectares. In there, a part of logistics, we have also offering space for components. So for sure, the brakes assembling, maybe the some other components on the chassis, suspension maybe in the high end, and some such kind of products will be done in Europe. It comes back, yeah, because you have to consider that the logistic costs from China to Europe, it's almost 10 times, meanwhile 8 times the cost what we had before Corona, and it won't come back to that level what we had before. So that logistic costs is driving huge retail prices. To that it's a must to come closer to the market. Secondly, to reduce the lead time for production, more built on demand, like we are doing on the motorcycle. The big success of our group is that we have a close control above the supply chain. It's a mainly European based, a little bit Japan. They are very sustainable, and so that we could react immediately on demand on both ways, on different specifications in the different countries. Yeah. So, and that is a must. And the big players, let's talk about a specialized track, a giant, and this this kind of even a cube is doing that. It comes closer to the market. It takes maybe 3-4 years, but it will come, and it is on the way. Yeah. And we are for sure playing a certain role within that consolidation period. So that's on the e-bike. And your first question?
400,000 target, I think. So in principle, it's still valid also for this year. So the main deviation we have at the moment is India. The Indian market, as you can see in the market development, that India is, as Stefan explained, strong hit by the corona crisis. But in principle, so I would say the area outside India is full on plan.
No, faster than no, on the plan.
So, this target, I think in principle,
is
valid one.
Valid, but no. It's gone because it was overtaken by the huge growth rate on the electric side.
Yeah.
So, and you will see in the next year. So the 400,000 are still valid, but we don't talk about. But we want to grow 10-12% on sales.
This 400,000 units target was, I would say, a strategic target a couple of years ago. We already revised it in different areas. Is it the electric segment or the turnover target? We are working on that strategic goals, which is for us the new guidance for the next year.
So the supply chain for the power two-wheeler will become a continental one. Yeah, that's also the success of our Indian partnership. They were able, although Corona showed up, to provide 160,000 motorcycles in that environment. It's impressive. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and in China, meanwhile, we are also able to do at the maximum 40,000 units together with CF Moto for the Chinese market, for some Asian markets, but to bring products around the globe with that logistic costs, I think it works for premium high-end like off-road, yeah, or for premium products where you can ask for the price. But for entrance bikes and entrance products, you have to do continental supply chain.
We now have a follow-up question from Constantin Hesse from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hey guys, just a very quick follow-up question on with regards to the e-peeling and the electric portfolio under development. So 25% gross margins today, going towards 30. So the launch of these new motorcycles next year, so in 2023, i.e. the e-peeling, for example, you want to launch them at the same level in terms of gross margins, right?
Yeah, for sure. We are asking to 30%. And that's
okay.
What we recognized on that premium high-end, if you can offer the right performance, the right design in combination with your brand image and the dealer network here, you can ask for the price. Yeah, you have
Perfect.
The similar
yeah.
margin as a combustion engine. And that is the breakthrough. And with a classic scooter, which is you can get already from 2,000 euro onwards, hey, never ever you will get a margin which is satisfying.
Absolutely. That's great. Thank you.
Maybe last question before we're running out of time.
We now have a question from Mark Deacon from Pontobel. Please go ahead.
Hi, gentlemen. Can I squeeze in two questions, please?
Yes.
Okay, thanks. My first one is on the margin guidance. I understand the guidance for this year is kind of mirroring your long-term guidance. However, given the profitability development in last year in the motorcycle business, the economies of scale in the bicycle segment, and kind of a normalization we talked about in supply chain later in the year, do we have to expect the margin decline on group level compared to 2021? And if yes, what are these? What are the factors you're calculating in the guidance, or what should we expect?
Yeah. Mr. Dieter, the guidance we published between 8% and 10% is in line with the long-term vision. So we see in comparison with 21 also a potential in this year to be in the middle and for perhaps in the second half of that range. But let's see, we have still some uncertainties. That's the reason why we kept it a little bit wider, and we will become or will be able to publish a closer picture, I would say, beginning with the second half of this year. But in principle, I think margin-wise, we are in a good way. To realize the potential out of that fixed cost regression, we see and we discussed also in our last sessions.
Okay, thanks. And then my second one is I have to decide which one. On the Chinese market, when you talked about China becoming as big as Europe in the next 2-3 years, do you mean the combustion engines, motorcycles? And what would be kind of would be the e-Duke a product be for the Chinese market then as well in the midterm?
We don't see the e-peeling in the short term in China, yeah, because the main market is Europe, and we also recognize the U.S. is asking for that, especially West Coast. In China, we have fortunately transferred our mid-class engine platform, the 790, which is meanwhile 100% sourced on a Chinese supply chain. So, quality-wise, very okay. And we last year we did already around a couple of thousand in the second half, and that displacement will become a second version. The touring, the adventure bike will also. Produced in China, we would like to fulfill the demand in China with that product range. The rest, the big, the 1300 cc, we are doing on a CKD basis via Philippines. So you see a great potential that we can go up. Last year we did in total 10,000 units in China, that we tripled it in a couple of years, up to 30,000.
And especially the combustion engine has really a real high potential in China.
Yeah, it sounds crazy, but it is. With combustion you can get money, you can grow impressive. On electric you have a huge competition on the low budget or on the price wise aggressive mass production on scooters and this kind of products.
Okay,
Thanks a lot.
We have one last question from Christian Braun from Finanz und Wirtschaft. Please go ahead.
Please, Mr. Braun.
Mr. Braun, your line is open.
I can't hear somebody. Herr Braun? Maybe he's already out of the line, or?
Yeah, he's still on.
Still on?
Mm-hmm.
That was the last question.
We didn't get it.
Yeah, he wasn't there.
Okay. Then, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you very much, also from my side.
For the very good questions. We like it. Thank you very much. And have a good day. Thank you.